Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money. But how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Friday, March 29th, and it's Good Friday. That means that U.S. bond and stock markets are closed today. So don't be thinking you're going to go make a trade, and you shouldn't anyway. Most days that you think you want to make a trade, you should wait a day, maybe two, and see if you still want to make that same trade the following day, because it should be more well thought out. Anyway, this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life, and we love hearing from you. The way that you get in touch with us is go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and write us a note. If you'd like to come on the air, check the box, and Mark will do everything else. While you're on the website, don't forget to check out all of the content that lives there. There's free stuff like the blog, there's the video section, there's resources. There's also the free weekly newsletter, which comes out today, every single Friday. Mark does such a great job with that. You can also spend a few bucks, $35 if you want to join Jill on Money Live. That's where you have access to 4 quarterly live webinars and special bonus content. And you can always buy my book, The Great Money Reset. Okay, today we are going to do some emails. So let's get going with that. This is from Dave. He and his wife are both 52 years old. They live in the middle of the country. They've got 3 adult kids. They're all launched, no grandchildren. And what he writes is, my wife just retired so we can travel more readily. We are, as you say, very charitably inclined. We've got a donor-advised fund in place. And yes, we have all of our estate plans together. Oh, I've become such a nudge. All right, 3 big questions. Number 1, am I on target to retire at age 59? That's when I'll have 10 years of service, thereby triggering pension eligibility and RSU vesting. 2, should I be moving to the Roth 401k instead of pre-tax? And 3, do we still need our term life insurance policies or can we cancel them? He goes on to write, I was pleasantly shocked to receive a massive comp increase at my work. My salary is $400,000 when adding target bonus, $200,000, and RSUs, $400,000, my total comp is $1 million a year. This guy's a jillionaire. He's a millionaire. Okay, let's hear more. He says he currently maxes out everything, including catch-up contributions, 401k, HSA, backdoor Roth for each of us. The company matches 3/4 of the first 8% of comp. I save between $80,000 to $100,000 per year to an after-tax brokerage account. I additionally save $20,000 per year through an after-tax 401k, which I then mega backdoor into a Roth 401k. Finally, I save 8% through salary deferral into an excess plan where the company matches 8% of anything above $273,000. This guy's got a boatload of money. He's going to really trigger all the hate mail. So don't be haters. Let's just listen to what the story is. He's got $1.7 million in a 401k. Most of it is traditional. He's got $150,000 in Roth IRAs, $64,000 in HSAs, $200,000 in a brokerage account, $100,000 in cash. The non-qualified deferred compensation plan, $211,000. The spouse has old retirement accounts, 250 grand. House is worth $700,000 with a $453,000 mortgage at 2.75%. They're going to stay for 10 years. They may downsize after that. Meanwhile, the guy's got $1.2 million of restricted stock units, RSUs, and he gives the whole vesting schedule. No pension for my wife. Social Security for her is $2,600 at age 70 or $2,100 at 67. He's going to have a pension of about $2,000 a month at age 60. His Social Security at age 70 is $4,700. Healthcare. Unless the company changes the rules, I will be eligible for retiree medical after 10 years of service. This is why he's going in for 10 more years. They can live comfortably on 10 or 12 grand a month, plus some annual travel. All right, so he's got $1 million of coverage at $198 a month, and wife has $500,000 at $122,000 a month. All right, so let's see where these guys stand. Is he on target to retire at age 59? I'd say so. I mean, you got a lot of money. You're saving a lot of money. I just want to be clear that everything looks fabulous. I don't know if you should necessarily move to a Roth 401k instead of a pre-tax. There's not that much more time left. I guess you could. It'll hurt a little bit more tax-wise, but you know, you're going to get walloped on your pre-tax numbers. So if you don't mind doing it too much, I just don't know if you're going to really be in the 37% bracket when you retire. I mean, you're making over $1 million now, which means that's your top bracket, 37. This may be a case where you really could go down. I don't know. I'm sort of thinking maybe I would. It's too bad Mark's not on this with me. He would say yes. I'm going to say no. I don't think you need to do it. I really don't. We're going to pull money out of this retirement account in between the period of time when you retire and then when you start claiming Social Security. I think that's probably right. So yes, you're on target to retire at 59. Maybe no for the Roth 401k. The life insurance is kind of an interesting question because I have some follow-ups. Number one is, if you were to pass away before you got the pension benefit, would it go to your wife? Is there some sort of survivor benefit to that? I'd kind of want to know that. Would the RSUs immediately get vested upon your death? See, these are some questions because I think if the answer is yes, all this money would flow to your wife, and that would argue that you probably would not need the coverage. I think because your wife has stopped working, the insurance for her is superfluous. So I'd say for her, no. But for you, I'd kind of want a little bit more information. You probably can give it up, but I just want to make sure that we go through some of the extra questions before we get there. I hope this helps. You're in amazing shape. Congratulations on being a millionaire, not just a jillionaire. Okay, this is a question from Leslie, who is asking about a recent appearance on CBS Mornings where I was discussing the documents that you should keep. And she writes, my question is about stocks that you might have in a brokerage account. What documents should you keep related to stocks and bonds that you've purchased? I understand that you need to know the basis. What do you need to have proof of when you purchased them or sold them? Thank you. The answer is both. You want to know the price at which you bought it and then also the price at which you sell it. Now, if you're doing business at the same brokerage house for both sides of the transaction, they should be able to provide it for you. But just in case, I would flag it for myself. This is from Abby, who writes, I'm 51 years old and I'm embarrassed about my financial situation. Don't be embarrassed. We're all friends here, Abby. I started off with $220,000 in student loans from medical school. It has ballooned out of control to $350,000 now. I quit medicine after residency due to health reasons. I was out of work for a few years. The good news is that I've now been gainfully employed for the past 3 years and I have built up a small cushion. I would like to switch from the regular 401k to the Roth 401k at work, but the financial advisor at my former medical school recommended I contribute to retirement on a pre-tax basis to bring down my income, for the income-based loan repayment plan. Also, since I'm 10 years into repayment, I could theoretically qualify for cancellation of the balance of the loan in another 15 years, assuming the program is around then. What do you suggest I prioritize, retirement or student loans? I would say student loans, I have to say. I think that that's going to be the most important part of this. The question about regular versus a Roth, I mean, I think that you have to, the medical debt is the ticking time bomb, you know, so Abby earns 165 grand in salary, 100 grand in cash, 50 in a non-retirement brokerage account, $500,000 in retirement accounts, 60% pre-tax, 40% post-tax, no consumer debt, no mortgage, single, no kids. I think we got to worry about the loan. So anything to reduce that loan is probably going to be better for you. And so I'll say pre-tax in this very rare instance. Okay, this is from Mike, who says, I love the podcast, especially since you've gone to focus on calls and emails since the start of COVID. Mike says, we are in our mid-40s and have been contributing the max to my traditional 401k. My 401k does not have a Roth option, but it has traditional and after-tax options. I reached out to the plan because I was confused if there was a difference between the after-tax and a Roth. Here was the response. Roth contributions are not permitted under the plan. Okay. They are subject to the same rules and annual limits as traditional 401ks, and they're included in the ADP non-discrimination test. The only exception is that they are made on a post-tax basis, and if all conditions are met, the investments grow tax-free. After-tax contributions are permitted under the plan. They are not subject to the annual 401k limits. Okay, I get it. So here's what they got. 750 grand in retirement accounts, 75% of that is traditional. My wife's only 401k option is also traditional. I don't have a 401k match. Do you think I should contribute to the after-tax or stick with the traditional? If you recommend the after-tax, should I try to contribute more than 22.5? I think the after-tax limit is 66. I can't afford to contribute 66,000, but it's a good goal for the future. Mike, I want to know more about you. I'm thinking that maybe I don't want to deal with this whole thing. Maybe I just want you guys to do a backdoor Roth and call it a day, and that you each will do the backdoor Roth, and that's the easiest way around this. But I'd have to know whether you have retirement accounts, IRA accounts outside of these, and also I would like to know more about you. I'd like to know, you know, when you say you can't afford the contribution of $66,000, I really would like to know more about what else is going on. Do you have kids? What's going on with the house? In other words, please get back in touch with us and come on the air. I promise I can change your name and you will be protected. Shh, we won't tell anybody, okay? All right, this is the last question. This is from Jan, who says, I love listening to your show. Here's two questions. My mom is 93. She's in excellent health. She still goes to the gym and she drives. I easily could see another 10 years in her future. Wow. There is always the possibility of needing expensive care for multiple years. And Jan's not messing around. She said $150,000 to $200,000 per year. Yowza. Okay, so mom has $800,000 at Charles Schwab in an IRA and another $225,000 in IRAs elsewhere. $140,000 in bonds at a firm in New Jersey, $600,000 sitting in four bank accounts, earning nearly nothing. Oh boy. Every year, the RMDs roll into various accounts. She has good income from pensions and a real estate investment, which cover most of her expenses, including supporting an adult child at $50,000 a year. She has to dip into savings for expensive home maintenance, maybe $25,000 to $40,000 per year for her large old house. Her effective tax rate is 28%. The top rate is 34% due to her required minimum distributions. So here's question one. The Schwab account charges her around $6,500 a year to quote-unquote manage, but I believe all that was ever done was to put the IRA through the software and put 60% in a bunch of stocks, large caps, 40% in a bunch of bond funds or bond-type funds. The stock portion is done okay, the bonds not at all, and there is no annual meeting or follow-up. I tried to find a CFP to independently review and comment on the investments, but after a brief review, all they want is for you to bring the money to them, and they say they can't do any better. No independent advice. That's so frustrating. Here's question two. barring finding a CFP, and then convincing mom to go to a financial advisor. I'm trying to get my mom to move the $600,000 cash into CDs and to spread these out from 6 months to 5 years. Better to earn some money than none, right? Is this plan okay? I know that she might do slightly better in bonds due to her high tax rate, but she's resistant to the bond concept, and I just don't have the knowledge to do this confidently. She will not invest this money in the market. Any help you can give me would be appreciated. I feel the pressure to get this right and to help my mom plan her finances for her remaining years. I'm going to go question two, then question one. In terms of a CD ladder, yes, absolutely. I could not agree more. You could really spread it out from 6 months, but you could even go shorter if mom doesn't feel comfortable tying it up for 5 years. You could go 6 months, 9 months, 18, you know, and dribble it out. And I think that's a great game plan. In terms of the money that is in the Schwab managed account, obviously, as you point out, it's not being managed. So there's a couple of choices for you. One is to just pull it out of the management structure and you can manage the money. I mean, not you, but you helping your mom. And it would be as simple as saying, let's hold on to the stocks or the stock index funds. Let's sell some of these bonds. They're probably going to take some losses. Buy some 10-year treasuries, some 5-year treasuries that give consistent income. You should buy the individual bonds, frankly, because why not, for her sake? Because that way, if it fluctuates in value, it won't matter. You'll say, if it gets redeemed, it gets redeemed. We get the money back and clean it up. Otherwise, there is the possibility of going to a fee-only planner who will take a look at it, but I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to say. I think the big issue is that you have somebody who's collecting a fee on an account and not doing anything for you. So that makes me a little bit angry. So I hope that helps. If you want us to follow up with you, then feel free to get back in touch with us. Okay, that is it. That is the show. And we always thank you so much for listening. If you would like to get in touch with us, just go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and let us know if you would like to join us on the air live. Just check that little box. All of our content lives at jillonmoney.com, so you can always check it out. It's refreshed all the time, and we would just love it, if you would sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It comes out today, every Friday, and I think that's a lovely way to go into your weekend. And we also would love it if you subscribe to this show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. It is Friday. I like to do business on Friday. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. Mark Talercio is the executive producer and king of all things web, and he's so good at both of those things. We are distributed by Odyssey. We ask that you put your hands, metaphorically or even physically, on someone's back. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com, we've done your homework.